You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, side B.
Okay, what else? What else we got?
All right. You want to talk about J. Cole?
Yeah, we do that real quick.
Okay. Your man, J. Cole, has some new music out.
Jumanji's back in the building. Yeah. Last time we talked about him, he was in a tiff. A ruse with No Name. Didn't come out victorious on that end, at least in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooved him to get some new music out in the streets. But I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No. And he's got it's called the Climb Back and Lion King on Ice. It's a two pack, very much in the style of what Drake has been doing lately.
Cassette single, A side, B side.
Right. I'm trying to think. So I feel like the one that was better received might have been Lion King on Ice, but I don't know. Is that right?
Yes. I'm looking right now. Lion King on Ice has more streams.
Yeah.
The name of the two pack is called Lewis Street.
Yeah. But it's from an album called The Fall Off,
mm-hmm.
which is not out yet.
This is his good butt job.
Mm.
Right? He's been talking about The Fall Off for years.
Yeah.
And unlike Kanye, he's going to actually like follow through with it. That's not a diss, but you know, he changed it up.
To me, like one thing that was immediately noticeable. And then I looked it up. I mean, I could tell cause he's got a kind of a trademark at this point, but I was like, when I heard Lion King on Ice, I was like, J. Cole's working with, he's got a different sound and it's, cause it's Jetson. Who's a co-producer on this?
It's in the drums.
Yeah, it's Jetson and T-Minus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same sample on both records?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think it is.
Okay. It sounds like it.
I don't really like the beat on Climb Back. I don't know.
The Climb Back's the better record.
I don't know what is going on. That sample, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no. I don't know when's the last time I heard a J. Cole record and I was like, y'all really like this.
Mm.
This is really dope. He is, his first verse, he is rapping his behind off. I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you come back. When you just like, yo, that happened. Like, let me get people to, you know, forget about that. Let's move on. Let's get back to the music. That's what you do. This is why you guys love me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate it. The second verse is kind of, it feels like it's in the same style of False Prophets where he's kind of like passive aggressively talking about Wale. I'm not crazy about it. I think that's Wale. I don't know who it is, who else it would be, but I'm cool with it. But that first verse, and I like the beat. Drums hit crazy in the car. So much so, I've heard Lion King on Ice like once. I don't even remember what it sounds like. I just remember hearing it and being like, yo, is this the same sample? You even got leathers? So I don't know. How do you feel about these two records, Doc?
I feel like they're fine. I feel like they're not moving the needle for J. Cole though. Like these were released like what, 2 weeks ago? Not even?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean they're not, I don't think they're gonna sustain for him. You know what I mean? Like they're not, I don't really see like a long life of these, either one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. They're interesting because, like, I think J. Cole has a big enough profile now, and he's made enough songs that, you know, become popular or whatever. Like, he's had big enough singles. Like, feels kind of interesting that this is like the here's my. I guess it's a question of is like, are these the teaser, or is this meant to be his like, oh no, like I'm back, I'm coming soon.
Yeah, I think this is the hey guys, I'm about to put something out.
Mm.
Songs, and if they catch on, then it's like, oh no, this was the single.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is like, I mean, neither of them is like really super catching on. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they're fine. It's just nothing I haven't heard from J. Cole before, really.
Yeah, I think that's Cole's problem. It's like, you know what this reminds me of? Because those two beats sounded like J. Cole beats, and it's like when Just Blaze worked with Eminem on Recovery.
Mm.
Well, we were expecting Just Blaze to make Just Blaze beats, and right. Just Blaze ended up making beats that Eminem would make. And that was probably an Eminem thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I mean, it's Jetson, it's, you said T-Minus, right?
Yeah, T-Minus.
It's T-freaking-Minus, like T T-Minus is coming into that studio with some crazy production. I know he is.
Yeah.
And Cole's like, yeah, let's do this.
What if we did this?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea. Build on this for me. And, you know, they're producers or they're, you know, contractors hired for a job. And they're like, okay, is this what you want us to do? Okay. And they do it. So, I feel you, though. I feel you, though. I don't know about them doing this whole, I don't know what this does for Cole outside of, hey, this is, and this may be something where it sounds better on the album, but I feel you. This doesn't go crazy, but I do think that it takes people's mind off of the last time we saw him.
Mm, the No Name thing.
Yeah, because that was the first time Cole looked negative in a long time. And I think that threw some people off.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Shout out to Cole.
You want to talk about Taylor Swift?
Yes. God, yes. Look at me excited to talk about Taylor Swift.
I'm sure you've got your track by track review ready.
Absolutely. I can't. You hear what she dissed Kanye? Clowns to the West? Woo! That's a bar.
So Taylor Swift did a surprise album drop. Sort of a surprise. She announced it the day before.
Yeah.
And it's pretty stripped back. She's basically making like indie pop music, right? There's no big over the top, crazy, glossy single. She's really embracing streaming for the first time. Like 5 years or so ago, there was a point where like she didn't have her music on Spotify because she was so anti-streaming. But this time around, she's embracing streaming. It's just a different kind of Taylor sound. It's stripped back. It's a lot of pianos. And it's largely co-written and produced by a guy named Aaron Dresner, who has an indie rock band called The Nationals. I've seen them play live before because the Eau Claire's music festival that I go to, he puts it on along with the guy from Bon Iver.
Got it.
Bon Iver has an appearance on this album. The Bon Iver Taylor song is freaking amazing, actually.
Really?
It's tremendous.
Oh, here we go. Is this where we've come to on Clock Radio Speakers now?
I'm saying. In the word, I said it to Marissa and she's like, you know, I don't even mind Taylor Swift on this. I was like, I know.
Wow.
I know. But we're not here to talk about the music. What we're here to talk about is her tremendous success, but more specifically, how she kind of attacked it. And she's kind of taking advantage of a loophole that isn't going to be around for all that much longer, right? Which is hey, I'm going to sell a bunch of deluxe editions and stuff with merch and everything else. And because you're including, so the current Billboard rules are, and this is going to change this fall, they said, if you're selling merch or deluxe edition CDs or anything like that, and you include a free digital download, then you get to count that as a sale because the consumer is getting music that at that exact moment. So that counts as a first week sale, right? Which Kanye has used, right? Jesus is King, like all those vinyl sales, even though they didn't ship until months later, because you got a digital copy, they're like, oh, that's a sale.
Yeah.
Travis has used this with merch. Lots of people have used this. And so this is especially important because in this day and age where the CD is kind of the afterthought, right? The physical product is the afterthought. You typically record right up until the album's ready to come out. And CDs take a while to press up and all that other stuff. And if you didn't include that bonus, like that, oh, by the way, you get a digital copy of the album, Billboard wouldn't count the sales until the physical product actually shipped. Right? So that's what they're going to change. What they're going to change in the fall is, if you're selling a digital copy, fine, sell a digital copy, but you can't just say like, oh, here's a $10 shirt, and oh, by the way, you get a free digital copy, and count that as a sale. They're not gonna that's not gonna run afoul. And similarly, oh, I'm doing vinyl, you won't get it for 3 months, but here's a digital copy. No. That doesn't count as a first week sale anymore. Starting in the fall. But what Taylor did is merch, she did 8 different deluxe editions.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All the same songs, but different artwork, different inside booklets, all that sort of stuff. Because you and I have talked about on the show, one of the things that artists are learning to embrace is the idea that for your super fans,
yes,
you're real big fans, there are limits, but it's really difficult to find those limits of how much some of them will spend.
Gotta feed them. Because some people, I wouldn't be surprised if they bought all 8 versions. Eight.
Right.
Man, you showed that to me and I was just like a freaking kid in a candy store, man. It's an excellent idea. It is an excellent idea. I have zero pushback on anything that she did. It's an excellent idea. Like, duh. Beautiful.
So, I mean, let's see if I can get her. What are her first week numbers?
She did 846, right?
846.
I think you sent that to me. Yeah, she did 846, dog. That's crazy. In a pandemic.
Yeah, and like 600 or K of them or something is going to do, is 600 of them or some big chunk of that is due to sales, amazingly. Like she sold a lot.
So she sold 600.
Yeah.
So she sold 600 and then the streams were 200?
Something like that, yeah.
Yo, when your sales are outdoing your streams.
I mean, that's old school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 846 the first week. I'm trying to see if I can get specific streaming numbers. Oh, yes, 615,000 full copies of the actual album.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Shout out to her. Congratulations. That's crazy.
And she debuted, like her a single debuted. A single. It was really just one of the songs off the album. Debuted at number one on Billboard. Believe it or not, I read this. I can't believe this is true. Is this really true? This is the first time a single artist in the same week has debuted an album and a single at number one. Is that true?
No way.
Not have them at number one, debuted at number one.
Huh.
Like,
no way.
They weren't on the chart before and then boom, number one.
They popped.
I bet now Beyonce really hasn't had a proper Beyonce style release since Lemonade. Right? I'm talking like the full treatment.
Good question. I don't know.
I feel like the way that streaming works now, if Beyonce wanted to do that, I feel like she's another artist who might be able to get there.
Easy. Easy.
Oh, yeah. So Taylor Swift sold...
Rihanna as well.
Taylor Swift sold 17 different physical versions of the album.
That's crazy.
8 different CDs, 8 different LPs, and a cassette tape.
And a cassette tape.
So if you're a collector, you spent a lot of money.
You spent a lot of bread.
Yeah.
Let me go discmakers.com.
You're like, how many deluxe editions can I do?
Oh, bro. I got ideas up the wazoo. We'll talk offline.
It's going to be you rapping over early 2000s beats with mixtape style. You got a different throwback on every cover. Boom.
A different throwback. Sometimes I got the bandana. Sometimes right. I got the paper towel wrapped around. Sometimes I got the do-rag. I got the fitted.
Switch it up,
you know. That's funny.
So, I mean, kudos to Taylor Swift for taking advantage of the rules in that way, for sure. This is the rare kind of release where anybody who's like a Taylor Swift critic, they were pretty quickly quieted down. I mean, both because people generally speaking, seem to like the kind of music on the album, but it is also a subdued album, right? Like when you're an artist who is known for big, over-the-top stuff, mm-hmm. right? Big, glossy pop singles, big, star-studded music videos. Sometimes when everybody's going one way, you got to turn left.
Mm.
I can imagine, especially like given how things are right now, right? Like an album that's kind of quieter and more introspective, like maybe that's where people are at. Yeah. I think there are all sorts of artists who, if they did that kind of thing, that could really work for them.
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, imagine if you got if it was like Beyonce doing like a stripped down album.
Yeah.
Some people's brains would break, right?
Yeah.
Because they're all ready for like, okay, what? Because most people will be like, okay, big Beyonce album comes out eventually, a lot of videos. Beyonce's videos seem custom made to like just go crazy on TikTok right now, right?
Correct.
But then she's just like, nah, swerving, doing this other thing.
Swerving. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, yeah. I don't know One thing that's interesting is, right, so when they changed the rules, mm-hmm. you have to be, like, in order to have all those physical copies count the first week, you'd have to ship them out that first week. But if we think that right now there are people who are kind of stockpiling music, right, who have things that they could put out,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's your way around it, right? Like, if you're not recording right up to the last minute, if you've got the finished thing and you just don't know when to put it out, well, go get those CDs pressed up.
Yeah, duh.
Get those deluxe edition LP plus cassette, everything else, get those pressed up. And better yet, you make a limited edition. You say, well, we've only created 1,000 of these and it's got X, Y, and Z.
Doc.
Sorry. Am I giving them too much away?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Relax.
Okay.
They got to pay for that. Go to patreon.com/CRSPodcast. You may need to create another tier for consulting.
That's the game spitter tier.
The game spitter tier. Oh, the game spitter tier. Yes. Yes. I'm with it. Let's do it.
All right. You ready to talk versus?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So this week was an interesting versus matchup. Mm-hmm. I think, so the one before this was DMX and Snoop, which was pretty well received. Right.
Very much so.
Two legendary artists, big catalogs, worked pretty well.
Yep.
It was a celebration of hip hop.
Yes.
And they both, I mean, especially Snoop, still put out new music, but they are largely seen as, you know, they're kind of in a different stage of their career, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 Chainz and Rick Ross are certainly older than the youths that are, you know, dominating music, but they aren't at that Snoop DMX stage of their career, right?
Still definitely active,
but here they are. On Versus, going into it, did you have were you thinking to yourself, 2 Chainz has this or Ross has this, or were you like, I don't know?
You know, I'm biased. You know, my initial thought was I wanted it to be Ross and Jeezy.
Mm.
My post thoughts after watching the battle was Jeezy was not the right battle for Ross.
Okay.
Should I spoil it and say who I would rather have? I think now after the battle, the correct matchups were Ross and T.I. and 2 Chainz and Jeezy.
Well, that's interesting. I would have put maybe T.I. with Chainz.
It had been the same thing. T.I. has the same type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, my God.
Hits.
He's singles. More well-rounded. Yeah, he's got different, like Ross was playing different types of records, whereas Chainz was not. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Ross and T.I. both, I mean, Ross, T.I.'s got records with Jay. Ross has records with Jay. Like he's got T.I.'s got like the sample joints, his tempos, he's rapidly rapping. And not to say Chainz wasn't, but it just would have fit better to me musically for those two to be paired together. And T.I. and Jeezy and Chainz, like, they both got, like, a lot of sneaky hits. That was a big takeaway from this. Mm-hmm. I think those would have been two better matchups.
Yeah, for me, going in, I was kind of like, my first thought was, do they have 20 records?
How dare you say that about Ross, as much as we talk about him on this show?
20 records for Versus.
You know, he... You can.
He went into deep album combo, which we're going to talk about.
He did. And so for Chainz, I was like, well, I can't. Here's how Chainz succeeded, because the thought was, man, Chainz only has, and I've heard this from a few people, Chainz only has 4 or 5 records, or I can only name 6 2 Chainz records.
Interesting.
And Chainz was busting them out.
Yeah.
He was busting them out. Like, so it's like, oh, I forgot about that record.
You win
just because you remind the audience of something that they forgot. Shout out to Wayne.
Yeah, I there were definitely 20 Ross records that, like, I wanted to hear. Right.
For sure.
But I don't know. So are you ready to go round by round on this?
Let's do it.
Okay. The pacing for this, really interesting, because Ross just decides right off top, we're going BMF.
Yeah.
And then 2 Chainz opens with No Lie.
That's been the strategy for some people.
Open real strong.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got winning that?
You know, a lot of these, I was reviewing them and I just didn't have a winner.
A lot of ties.
A lot of ties and not ties because these are like records that I absolutely love. These records are like, like BMF's a great record. It's a record I don't ever need to hear again. No Lie caught me by surprise. Oh, I forgot about that record.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that he gets the win for me. This is a tie for me. It's a tie for me.
I think BMF was more important, to like more impactful in hip hop.
Sure. Yep.
No Lie, I might like more.
Sure. Yep.
No Lie is sneaky, right?
Yeah.
It's a good era of Drake. It's a good era for Mike Will.
Yep.
2 Chainz got a handful of really good, like that 2013, 2012, 2013, 2014 era Mike Will beats. Like he definitely has a couple of those.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I guess I'm calling this a tie too. All right.
Yeah.
I can't believe Ross played Hustlin' in round 2.
I can, because it's one of those records where I feel like Ross or other people would find it more important. Like where the artist finds it more important. It's like, yo, this is the record that got me going.
Oh, no, I mean, like, I'm surprised this didn't come later.
Oh, okay. Sure. It seems like he was just continuing with, you know, with uppercuts out the gate.
Yeah. Hustlin' versus I'm Different.
I've never liked either one of those records. That's another tie for me.
I've got Ross with that one. I'm Different is, I grew to like I'm Different more. I remember when we reviewed that project, I specifically remember, I was like, what is going on with I'm Different? I didn't get it. I wasn't ready for that. Because that was a little ahead of its time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the early mustard beats to get off, I think. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I got Ross with that one.
Okay.
Lil Wayne featuring Ross John versus Effing Problems.
Here's where things get a little weird. And on one hand, I don't like John because it's like a knockoff I'm Not a Star, and I'm Not a Star is crazy. And he plays I'm Not a Star later, which is just weird. And then Chainz is just playing hooks that he's done. So Chainz just literally just plays the hook for Problems and cuts it off.
Interesting.
It's like, huh, does that count?
Yeah, that's like, weird.
It, what's the criteria, you know? And no criteria, and there you go. Nope, because no criteria is set. It's like if you and I are going to fight and we say, if I don't say, hey, Doc, before we fight, don't punch me in the face. Right. I can't get mad when you punch me in the face.
Right.
So it technically counts.
Yeah.
So all things considered, I don't know. I guess Chainz probably. I guess Problems.
Yeah, I don't really like, I mean, I don't know. I don't like John. Really.
Yeah, I didn't like John either.
It was a big record. Like, yeah, it did well on the charts, but like, I don't really like it. FM Problems, considering it's ASAP, 2 Chainz, Drake, and Kendrick, is kind of underwhelming, actually. But I'll take that too. Yeah. I think that record's fine.
It's okay.
There's a lot of star power for that to just be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially during that era too, because that was done on the, was that the Club Paradise tour?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Man, how did I not go to that tour?
Yeah, we was tripping. Big tripping, as the youth say.
They don't say big tripping.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Round 4, Rich Forever with your man, the world's greatest Uber driver, John Legend, versus Spend It. Rich Forever is an interesting choice.
It is. It's very interesting. Like, wow, this is where you're going?
Right. You get a sense real quick of like what he thinks his best records are.
Correct. Correct. And it's also interesting, you're playing that record and you and Jeezy have squashed your beef. Like, that's kind of like an unwritten rule, right? Like, hey,
yeah,
Nas doesn't perform Ether anymore. Jay doesn't do Nas's verse on Takeover anymore. It's just like, I don't know. Interesting. Another, what did Chainz do? Oh, Spend It. Again, another tie. Like, these aren't the records I want to hear from either one of these guys.
Oh, interesting. I like Spend It. I think Spend It works. I guess I'll call this a tie as well. It's so weird. Like, these two thought that they were playing very different games. You know what I mean? Like, they just came at this with just very different approaches. As we're going to see, because next up, Ross plays Diced Pineapples, which I forgot was a single.
It was a single.
and is a Clock Radio Speakers classic. Versus Duffel Bag Boy.
That's a weird matchup, man.
So
that's
strange.
Like a, that's like a boxer versus a ballerina. Like, it's two completely different. A boxer versus a construction worker. Like, yeah. It's not even in the same field. Wait, what did Chains do again?
He played Duffel Bag Boy.
Duffel Bag Boy. I've never been a fan of Duffel Bag Boy.
Mm.
Never liked that song. But that's like a hood classic. And it's a classic for the hook and not necessarily for Chains.
Right. So, I was going to say, like, that's...
And we're gonna get there because yeah. Chains starts going into a bag that I'm not crazy about. I guess Dice Pineapples.
I think I agree. I'll take that.
Yeah, I guess.
So you have it right now as 1-1 with three ties. Not surprising. Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of ties.
Yeah, dog.
Round six, MC Hammer versus I Love Them Strippers.
MC Hammer far and away. That's the first clear dub for me. Wasn't a fan of I Love Them Strippers.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not surprised he played I Love Them Strippers. I mean, Chains' strategy was very clearly, I'm playing singles. All singles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because Chains is kind of a singles artist.
He's a singles guy. Yep.
And, you know, when we talk about styles make fights, people so too often, I think, get stuck on like region or era. But like, are you a single artist or are you like an albums artist is a big right. difference.
Absolutely.
And in this case, we have a singles artist versus an albums artist.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're not a singles fan.
No. Yeah. That's another point. Yeah. Yeah.
Round seven, Aston Martin Music versus Super Freak.
Another win for Ross Aston Martin.
I like Super Freak, but yeah, I'm going to call that a tie. They're so different. That's such a weird... But yeah, I see that. Now, this is talk about an interesting matchup. Santorini, Greece versus Banza Maker Dance.
You know, would someone be upset if I was a little bit conflicted?
I might give this to Chains. I don't know. I haven't decided. Banza Maker Dance is a classic.
It is.
And Chains' verse is great.
Actually, I hate Chains' verse. That's what? Right. I hate his verse. I hate his verse. I don't like the remix.
Oh.
I don't like the remix. I just, the original. Juicy J, 2 Chainz. That's all I needed. I didn't need Wayne. I didn't need Chainz. I'm sorry. Juicy J by himself. I'm sorry. Juicy J by himself. I didn't need Wayne. I didn't need Chainz. Yeah, I got Santorini. And I love Santorini Grease.
Yeah.
I love Santorini Grease. So there we go. There's my pick. I hated Chains verse. And Banza Maker Dance is a classic.
Ross was going first, right?
Yes.
I love that, like, Ross played Santorini Grease and 2 Chainz was like, how about Banza Maker Dance?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, 2 Chainz on Banza Maker Dance, 2 Chainz, 4 Bracelets. Let me see. I mean, come on. This nah. is 2 Chainz was in his bag.
Nah.
Nah?
Nah, not for me.
Okay. I love Santorini Grease. I do.
It's a beautiful record.
Am I calling this a tie? I'm calling this a tie. You're giving this to Ross?
Yeah, I got Ross.
Okay. Meek Mill with Ross, I'm a Boss versus Wayne and 2 Chainz, Rich as F.
This was actually a good move by Ross to go from Santorini Grease to I'm a Boss because he's playing Dice Pineapples. He's in a certain bag.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm going to hit you with I'm a Boss real quick. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And I think he wins. This round. I'm not crazy about Rich's F. I didn't like that Colly Grove album at all.
Rich's F is not bad. I guess I'll give this to I'm a Boss. I guess. I'm a Boss is fine.
Oh, I'm a Boss. That was a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Round 10, Ross and Jay Freemasons versus mm-hmm. Feds Watching with Pharrell.
I'm going to go with Feds Watching because I'm not a fan of Freemason. Those are records that don't age well.
Yeah.
But I have a thing about the theory that you and I have about things aging well.
Mm,
I'm going to wait when we talk about the Busta Rhymes album. But okay. Nah.
Okay.
I got Feds Watching on that one.
Okay. I'll call this a tie as well. Man, I got 5 ties. This is crazy.
Yeah, dog.
Rick Ross and T-Pain, The Boss versus 2 Chainz, Quavo, Gucci Mane, Good Drink.
Ugh.
It's not a good round.
Wait, what did Ross play?
The Boss with T-Pain.
Oh, yeah, this is a tie because I don't like either one of those records.
Yeah. I guess I'll give it to Ross because I don't really like Good Drink.
Yeah, no.
All right. Mm-mm. All right, we're getting a little more interesting here in the back half.
Okay.
F With Me, You Know I Got It versus Watch Out.
That's close. Watch Out is actually really dope. And You Know I Got It is like one of the few songs on Magna Carta that I don't loathe.
Mm.
I'm gonna be cheap and say it's a tie too.
I got Ross taking that one.
Okay.
Watch Out's fine.
Okay.
Sorry, 2 Chainz. This next round, Devil in a New Dress versus 2 Chainz and Travis Scott, 4 a.m.
Oh, nah. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. That's read the room wrong.
Yeah, wrong.
Nope. Not happening. Tears of Joy. Boy, he really went deep into Teflon Don, didn't he? Tears of Joy versus 2 Chainz and Drake, Big Amount.
Oof.
A lot of Drake going on in this.
Yes.
It's about to get even more Drake and Kanye, for sure.
It's about to get very, very Drakey.
Yeah.
You know what? I like Big Amount.
Yeah?
I like Big Amount. Why am I not remembering these rounds? What did Ross play again?
Tears of Joy and Big Amount.
I got Tears of Joy, though. I got Tears of Joy. But Big Amount's actually kind of sneaky good.
I guess I'll go Ross as well. I would not. These are not the records I'd be playing, but okay.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I agree.
Round 15, Stay Scheming versus All Me.
Mm. This is good.
This is a good round.
I got Stay Scheming.
I was never the biggest fan of Stay Scheming.
Mm. Okay.
I'm taking All Me. All Me is weird, but okay. It really grew on me. I'm taking 2 Chainz there.
Okay.
But I get it. There's no choice. Yeah. It's not like it's stunning me. This is a weird round. Pop That versus 2 Chainz, Trey Songz, It's a Vibe.
Tie. I don't like either one of those records. Probably, no thanks. Nope.
Oh, this like is Pop. I like Pop That. Pop That's okay. Very well done.
Yeah. No thanks.
Not a fan?
Nope.
All right. Round 17, I'm On One versus Chance, 2 Chainz, and Lil Wayne's No Problem.
Oh, I'm On One. Easy.
Yeah. I like No Problem. He could have played No Problem at a different time. But
maybe earlier.
But when Ross breaks out, I'm On One, you know. Yeah. Sorry, not happening.
Yeah.
We're getting towards the end here. But there's 2 Chainz has no chance of winning for either of us, but that's okay. Round 18, okay. I'm Not a Star versus Birthday Song.
I'm not a star. It's crazy. Sorry.
Here's my thing with I'm Not a Star. Like, he's done so many versions of that song now.
Now, but that's like one of the OGs.
Yeah. I think Birthday Song, people like it for Kanye.
Yeah, and the hook. Yeah. Yeah. It's not really for
Right.
I can see that.
I get that to Ross. Round 19, Mafia Music versus YG, 2 Chainz, Big Sean, Nicki, Big Bank.
Yeah, nah. You can't Ross can't play Mafia Music and then you play Big Bank.
That's Ross.
That when he played Mafia Music, I was like, okay, here we go. I would have preferred Mafia Music too, but
yeah,
it wouldn't have worked. Mafia Music, because Mafia Music is the record that like made people take Ross serious as a rapper.
Mm.
That's like when, not people, just like New York, we should say. You know, like I'm not a New Yorker. People were hearing about Maybach Music and Luxury Tax and some of the stuff he was doing on Trilla. But like Deeper Than Rap, and that's why so many New Yorkers have Deeper Than Rap as his best album, is because it's the first one that made them pay attention to him. Mm. But it's far and away not his best album. So,
yeah, I would have never, like when I'm making a list for 2 Chainz, I don't think Big Bank would ever been on it.
No, but it was a hit. It's a single.
Yeah.
To your point.
Round 20, Rick Ross plays Rich Off Cocaine. And then
automatic dub.
And then also plays a verse of his over Famous.
Is this when they switched?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but that's going up against Mercy. Listen.
Mercy against Famous?
It's Rich Off Cocaine / Famous. I don't know why he switches halfway versus Mercy.
Sorry.
That's Mercy. All day.
No, I got Rich Off Cocaine. Sorry.
Really?
Yes. It's my favorite Rick Ross song.
Oh, well, there you go. I can't. Yeah. He closed with Rich Off Cocaine.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I also had the volume down because my daughter was in the car and I didn't want to hear that. And so I heard that and wanted to turn it up, but could not. Yeah, that's my favorite Ross song.
Mm.
But I have no idea how that ended. I don't know what he was doing.
That's a very strange song for me to end with. He did not play. Well, hold on. All right. So overall, we had almost identical. So I had Ross 12, 2 Chainz 3, 5 ties. You had Ross 11, 2 Chainz 2, 6 ties. It's a rough showing for 2 Chainz.
It is, but he didn't lose.
He didn't lose. I went, you know, he has an interesting catalog. He has more hit singles than I remembered.
Right.
Him and Ross were playing different games.
Yep.
And, you know, we're scoring this a certain way. If you're not a Rick Ross album fan, then you're scoring this probably in a very different way.
Absolutely.
But I feel like Ross left stuff on the table.
Probably.
Did Ross play She Will?
No.
Ross didn't play Lord Knows.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He didn't play Push It, which was a hit for him.
Push when I push, ride when I ride. No,
he didn't play. He could have played Money in the Grave. He could have played Free Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have played Tupac records. Back. Maybach Music 2.
Yeah, Maybach. He played none of the Maybach Music.
Right. He could have played. Yeah. I mean, considering what he did play. I mean, if he's playing Tears of Joy, I could have seen him playing Three Kings just because it's Jay and Dre.
Jay and Dre. Yeah.
He left a lot on the table.
He did.
And that's the thing. I was like, can 2 Chainz really get to 20? And he did.
He got to 20.
But a lot of those are like guest appearances.
Yeah. Right? I mean, but in this format, it works.
Well, kind of. Like DMX could do a lot of guest appearances because, and this is, we're showing our bias. DMX was playing iconic guest appearances, right?
And 2 Chainz was playing successful guest appearances.
That's right.
There's a difference. Yeah. There's a difference.
There's a difference. I'm not mad at this versus, but you know, I think you're right. I don't know if this is the right pairing. That's about right.
It's not the right pairing.
Yeah. We talked a little bit on the pre-show about pairings. Are there any rumored ones coming up next?
So Swiss and we talked about this on our Patreon, in much more detail. There's a rumor that the next one, I guess Timbaland said that it's 20 years in the making.
Right. 20 years in the making.
So people have been, I guess Tim has been alluding to Mariah. Some people are saying 20 years and they're looking at, okay, so who was popping in 2000? You got Missy Elliott, you got Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the rumors are. That's what the rumors are going. And I feel like with the next one, they need to have a big one.
Got to be some. I mean, not that 2 Chainz and Ross aren't no names, but they got to go a little bigger.
Yeah, they got to go with some. I don't know. They might have backed themselves into a corner temporarily with how the DMX and Snoop one went because of their personalities.
Snoop's a big. I mean, Snoop is a. That's a big get.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Busta and Missy would be. That's quite a get. I mean, I think I was talking to the first lady of Clock Ready Speakers about this the other day. I think the interesting problem there is like. Missy is a songwriter as much as she's a rapper and a singer.
Right.
And so like, how do you have a songwriter go up against people who aren't known for writing songs? Like,
that's exactly why I don't want Missy and Busta. I've been saying that for months.
Yeah. Like, yes. What is Missy going to play? Is she going to get there and play Aaliyah records that she wrote?
Yes, she should.
She should. But that's a different kind of battle.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That's why the Busta romp. That's why the Busta battle doesn't work. I'm like, who do you? Yeah. That's why I said Pharrell works. Because Pharrell can do artist records and he can do songs that he wrote and produced for other people. It works.
Yeah.
I'm with it. So I don't know, dog.